Qui-Gon halted the rented speeder on a cliff overlooking a valley below. It was rock instead of sand, with the hint of a road leading up to the closed gate of Jabba the Hutt's massive palace. Ugh, it's worse than I remember, Obi-Wan muttered.
I have to admit, the aura of that place is unpleasant, Qui-Gon agreed.
He was possibly more than a little distracted by his partner's warmth, pressed up against his back. A speeder bike had been their only means of discreet transport, but Qui-Gon was not complaining. His surprise had been realizing that Obi-Wan had no intention of piloting, insisting instead that Qui-Gon be the one to fly them out to the Hutt's residence. It had taken only a moment's consideration to understand why. If something happened, Qui-Gon needed to be able to find the way back to Mos Espa. Obi-Wan, meanwhile, would know his way back blindfolded.
How should we handle this?
Obi-Wan pointed at the road.
We go to the front door, knock, tell them we're Jedi, and announce that we have business with Jabba the Hutt. Then we hope he's in the mood to be reasonable.
Qui-Gon shook his head.
I don't like that idea. Why announce our identities?
Jabba likes to play with his guests, and the less important he believes you to be, the longer he'll draw things out.
I don't want to be here a full 10 days trying to wheedle a motivator out of him, Obi-Wan explained. Why don't we just steal it?
Obi-Wan laughed, a soft breath of air against Qui-Gon's ear.
While it amuses me to hear you suggest such a thing, it's a really bad idea in this case. Jabba's palace is a maze, and it's full of people. We could be in there for days looking for the damn thing.
Qui-Gon sighed, knowing that Obi-Wan was right, but unable to shake a sour feeling in his gut.
I have a bad feeling about this. Qui, everything associated with Jabba is bad.
They parked the speeder a short walk from that sealed metal entrance. Obi-Wan knocked, and received a brusque response from the answer droid built into the door.
We are here to see Jabba the Hutt, Obi-Wan said in Huttese.
The answer droid laughed at them.
Two Jedi to see Jabba the Hutt? It replied in the same language. You must be complete fools.
Nevertheless, we still want to see him.
Now, Obi-Wan added, glaring at the answer droid's single visual port. It's your funeral, stupid biologicals, the answer droid retorted,
withdrawing back into the door as the metal grate began to rise. A male Twi'lek, overweight and jaundiced, gestured for them to come inside.
I am Bib Fortuna, Majordomo for the mighty Jabba.
For someone so young, the Twi'lek's health looked to be failing badly. When the door sealed behind them, Qui-Gon had to force his eyes to adjust to the poor lighting. A Bomar monk was to his immediate left. Qui-Gon resisted the urge to jump back.
Yep, still creepy, Obi-Wan said, his eyes on the spider-like perimeter droid with its attached brain jar.
That observation made Qui-Gon feel a bit better. At least he wasn't the only one who found the disembodied monks disturbing.
Normally, we would send the Gamorreans to greet you, Fortuna confided in a quiet voice,
leading them through the perpetual darkness of the palace. The monk, to Qui-Gon's relief, did not attempt to follow.
But to receive two Jedi, this is a prestigious honor. The great Jabba will be happy to see you at once, though he is curious as to why a Jedi would come to see him. It's a business transaction, Obi-Wan replied, still using Huddies even though Fortuna was speaking in Basic. Qui-Gon was content to allow Obi-Wan to take the lead in this. He could understand Huddies well enough, but had never mastered more than basic words and phrases. Bib Fortuna gave Obi-Wan a narrow-eyed look.
So you say. You are not the first Jedi to visit us in the last 2 years. One called Kai Adi Mundi came before the great Jabba. His visit was not a pleasant one. I hope that yours will be much more well-mannered.
But of course, Obi-Wan said, refusing to rise to the bait Fortuna had so poorly laid out. As long as the great Jabba is willing to be reasonable, we will be reasonable as well. Fortuna didn't like that answer, but did not speak further. He led them into the throne room, a vast cavern lit by wall-mounted torches. Definitely far underground, given the way the ground had gently sloped as they walked. Qui-Gon understood now what Obi-Wan had meant about the palace being a maze. He could find his way out if they were forced to flee, but finding a small hyperdrive motivator in this place would prove difficult. The Majordomo left them in the center of the room, while they went to stand by his master's side. Jabba the Hutt was corpulent, like most huts in positions of power, but for his relatively young age, he was immense. Jabba, along with two other huts, controlled the entirety of Hutties' operations throughout the galaxy. The Hutt Council of Nal Hutta was trying to overturn that power base, but was having little success.
Don't stand on that part of the floor, Obi-Wan told him.
Qui-Gon looked down, noticing the metal inlay that decorated the floor just in front of them.
It's a trap door. He thinks it's funny to send visitors through it, usually to become dinner of whatever creature he has caged up beneath us.
That's vile, Qui-Gon replied, startled.
While huts were known to be less than ethical, he was beginning to understand why Watto had insisted that Padme and Anakin stay well away from here.
He likes young girls. Pretty girls, Watto had said, his discomfort evident as he spoke. Especially bipedal ones. The other Hutts think he's degenerate for liking humanoids so much. Especially when they discover that sometimes he likes pretty young boys, too.
Granted, as a hermaphroditic self-reproducing species, most Hutts considered all sexual activity to be sordid. Jabba's proclivities would definitely be looked upon as foul. There were several humanoid females in the Hutt's entourage, bearing predatory airs while wearing only the barest of clothing. Some of them even looked happy, or were so drug-addled as to not care. Aside from Bib Fortuna, they were the only members of Jabba's entourage who were allowed to be close to the Hutt. They were lounging on various pieces of furniture, or lying directly on the dais itself. Only one of the females, a young girl, was broadcasting desperation. She wore a metal collar attached to a silver chain, the end of which was clutched in Jabba's hands. She was seated at Jabba's tail, curled up with her arms around her knees, trying valiantly to hide behind her hair. Qui-Gon could see her eyes through that thick black curtain, and they were bright with fear.
Greetings, Jabba. I am Jedi Knight Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is my companion, Jedi Master Qui-Gon Jinn.
Obi-Wan introduced them in rapid, if polite, Huttese. His eyes flickered around the room, cataloging potential danger. Qui-Gon spied at least 3 different well-known bounty hunters and hoped he would not have to draw his lightsaber. If a fight erupted, they would be hard-pressed to escape.
Jabba tugged on the girl's chain as he regarded them. The girl suffered in silence, as if used to such treatment.
"Greetings, Jedi," he rumbled at last. "I am honored by your visit. What can I, a humble merchant, do for you?"
Qui-Gon raised an eyebrow at the blatant lie. Obi-Wan ignored it.
"We've been told by those dwelling in Mos Espa that you are the only being on Tatooine that possesses a hyperdrive motivator for our ship. We wish to purchase it. The profit would be great, and an honorable increase to your present wealth," Obi-Wan said.
"You've spent too much time among the Hutts if you know how to talk of profit as they do,"
Qui-Gon said.
"You have no idea," Obi-Wan replied. The Hutt smiled, gazing at them with deceptively dull eyes.
"A hyperdrive motivator, you say? I have many of those, young Jedi. Tell me what kind of ship you have, and perhaps I can help you."
Obi-Wan smiled at Jabba, a fierce, predatory expression that made Qui-Gon's hair stand on end. He didn't think he ever wanted that smile directed at him.
"If I told you that, great Jabba, you would be far too interested in the ship itself. That information is not for sale. The model number your employees should look for is JT-6-974, Nubian in origin. The Stealthos class of the same model would also be acceptable."
Bib Fortuna leaned in close to the Hutt's mouth, listening to the great Hulk whisper under his breath. Jabba was well-versed in keeping his secrets. Try as he might, Qui-Gon could not discern what was being said. Fortuna nodded and disappeared into the darkness behind the Hutt's dais.
"You are quite knowledgeable, young Jedi," Jabba said, looking at Obi-Wan in blatant interest. "I could use someone of your talents."
"He's not for sale either," Qui-Gon told the Hutt,
glad that he managed to reply in Huttese without tripping over his own tongue. The thought of Jabba using Obi-Wan, as he was obviously using the girl, was more than enough to anger him. Qui-Gon wanted out of this palace, quickly, before he lost his damn temper.
"A pity," was Jabba's response, unconcerned with Qui-Gon's refusal. "He is very pretty."
"Thank you, Jabba," Obi-Wan surprised Qui-Gon by saying. "It is kind of you to say so."
Jabba laughed, loud and booming in the small room. His courtiers tittered along with him, as if sharing the joke.
"And he is so well-mannered. Master Jedi, whoever winds up holding the leash of this young one will be fortunate indeed."
"Indeed he will," Qui-Gon replied.
Obi-Wan gave him a sharp look. "Relax," Qui-Gon said, trying to reassure his partner.
"I know that if I try to get any more complicated than that, I'm going to get us into trouble." "That's not what I..." "Never mind."
Obi-Wan terminated that line of conversation as Bib Fortuna returned. He was being followed by a massive Gamorrean, who was pulling a hover sled with the hyperdrive motivator sitting on it. Qui-Gon prodded it with his senses and was relieved to find it to be new, or so new as not to matter. Without taking damage, the motivator would serve the Queen's ship for several decades.
"What kind of compensation would the great Jabba prefer for this transaction?" Obi-Wan asked.
Jabba let out a dark chuckle, one of the least reassuring sounds in the galaxy. Then he spoke in basic.
I desire only 5,000 credits. Chomar is acceptable if you have it. Republic is not. But that is not my only condition.
Obi-Wan flinched, a movement so imperceptible it would be unrecognizable unless it was witnessed by someone who knew him well. Qui-Gon gritted his teeth.
What is the other condition? Obi-Wan asked, still as agreeable as if this were a standard business negotiation.
The Hutt licked his lips, leaving a trail of thick slime behind.
That explains the dullness of his eyes, Qui-Gon thought.
A Hutt's primary reaction to consuming too much spice was a thickening of saliva.
My other compensation is a kiss from you, young Jedi.
Qui-Gon wanted nothing more in that moment than to stride forward and tell the corpulent Hutt to go to hell. What stopped him, aside from a desire not to get them killed, was the knowledge that this was their only option. Without the motivator, they were trapped on this planet, and the Naboo suffered. Obi-Wan's shoulders stiffened.
You ask for something very personal, Jabba.
But that is my condition, Jedi Kenobi,
the Hutt said with another pleased chuckle.
Will you pay me?
The great Jabba knows that if it is a motivator we wish to purchase, then we have little choice in the matter,
Obi-Wan replied in a low voice, finally switching back to basic.
You know full well that I'll pay you, you bastard.
Jabba laughed harder.
And I will enjoy every second of it, Jedi.
Obi-Wan stepped forward, stopped by Qui-Gon's hand on his arm.
You don't have to do this,
Qui-Gon whispered, aware that everyone in the room was watching them.
Perhaps we can find another way.
Obi-Wan looked up at him and managed a faint smile.
I appreciate that thought, but you and I both know that there is no other way. Just be ready to ask your favor, he said, and walked to the dais, skirting the metal inlay of the floor.
Qui-Gon watched him go, amusement warring with his apprehension. Obi-Wan already knew he was going to ask to buy the girl. There was no one in the galaxy who knew him better. He wanted to look away, and could not. It was like watching a speeder wreck in the skies above Coruscant. It was horrifying, and there was nothing to be done but watch it unfold. Jabba ensnared Obi-Wan around the waist with his free hand, pulling him close.
I will remember this for a long time, pretty Jedi,
the Hutt said, his breath a foul rush of air that blew Obi-Wan's hair away from his face.
I don't think I'm ever going to forget it, Obi-Wan replied bluntly, not bothering to hide his distaste.
He then placed a gentle, lingering kiss on the Hutt's mouth. Qui-Gon felt Obi-Wan bring the Force to bear, and knew that the Hutt was getting more than his money's worth. There were things you could do with a Force touch that made others pale by comparison. Qui-Gon suddenly wanted to hit Jabba and laugh at the same time. He was jealous of a Hutt. Obi-Wan closed his eyes, holding still while Jabba brushed his large tongue over Obi-Wan's face in contentment. The slime glued long strands of Obi-Wan's hair to his face.
Well worth
surprise. The Hutt sighed in satisfaction, his eyes glazed.
The part is yours, Jedi. I hope that one day we will conduct business again.
Obi-Wan backed away from the dais, still maintaining his dignity in the face of the catcalls pouring in from Jabba's entourage. He scrubbed his face clean with his sleeves while Qui-Gon took the hover sled's control box from the Gamorrean. The Gamorrean grunted at Obi-Wan, sniffing at his clothes in blatant curiosity, before Fortuna snapped a command at the guard and made him retreat. Fortuna collected the Cho-Mar from Obi-Wan, smiling over the pile of credits, before returning to Jabba's side. Still trying to get what he had just witnessed out of his head, Qui-Gon took a step forward, stopping at the edge of the metal inlay to avoid the trapdoor.
"Great Jabba," he called,
hoping that his use of basic wasn't going to anger the worm at this point in the game.
"It is most unexpected, but I have another transaction to ask of you."
Jabba waved his hand in languid permission.
"You have provided me with more entertainment than I expected this day, Jedi. Make your request."
"I'd happily kill you for what you just did," Qui-Gon thought, and tried not to grimace. He had not had such difficulties controlling his feelings in many years.
"The girl who sits at your feet, whose chain you hold."
At Qui-Gon's words, the girl peered up at him, hope and terror warring for dominance in her eyes.
"You seem fond of her, but I know of others who would also find her company welcome. Would you consider parting with her?"
Jabba's eyes, narrowed to slits in pleasure, widened.
"She is dear to me, yes, Master Jin. But money, that is dear also. I have used her well, and I fear she no longer welcomes my touch. For 15,000 Trugent, I would give you her chain."
"If she has been used, and fears you, then 15 may be too much," Obi-Wan said, stepping up next to Qui-Gon. "We will offer you 11 Cho-Mar." Jabba frowned.
13 Cho-Mar. That is my final offer, or I will keep her for myself."
"You strike a hard bargain, mighty Jabba."
Qui-Gon inclined his head.
"For 13,000 Cho-Mar, you have a deal."
It was the last of their non-Republic currency, but in this case, Qui-Gon would take on the Council's accusations of frivolous expenditures and smile through the entire lecture. Jabba laughed.
"Yes, today has certainly been interesting. You may go with my blessings, Jedi. She will treat you well, or she will regret it. Won't she?"
Jabba added, giving the girl's chain another fierce yank. She made a desperate noise of protest. Jabba pulled again, hard. There was a sharp crack, audible even over the noise of the crowd, and the girl fell back onto the dais, lifeless.
"No!"
Qui-Gon shouted. He stepped forward and was yanked back by Obi-Wan's grip on his arm.
"The door, damn it!"
Obi-Wan yelled, and the trapdoor fell open, just as Qui-Gon would have stepped on it with his full weight. Jabba laughed, mocking them.
"Oh, Jedi, so very entertaining. So very easy to make them fall prey to their own whims. Do you still want her, Master Jedi? She would be pliant, I assure you."
Qui-Gon placed his hand on his lightsaber, but a sudden rush of fury flooded the pair bond, halting him mid-motion. It was Obi-Wan who acted. He held out one hand, palm flat, and curled his fingers. The dais jerked in place, causing Jabba to utter a surprised curse.
"What is that?"
he yelled.
"I know that you're immune to force suggestion, Jabba," Obi-Wan said in a soft voice. "But you're not immune to the force itself."
The dais jerked again, and then rose into the air. Jabba howled in surprise. His closest companions jumped to the floor as the dais ascended. Jabba was trapped on the floating platform. A Hutt falling even a short distance could be fatal.
"Put me down, Jedi, or you will pay for this,"
the Hutt roared. The click and clatter of many blasters being drawn and armed filled the room.
"No," Obi-Wan growled back. "We are going to walk out of here with what we came for, and you are going to let us. Because I can guarantee..." Obi-Wan's voice became fierce, and Qui-Gon felt chilled. "I can drop this dais before you can give the order to fire."
Jabba eyed them with a fearful expression.
"Very well, Jedi. It seems I have misjudged you. But you should pray to your force that we never meet again."
"The feeling is mutual," Obi-Wan said. "Tell them to let us pass. When we leave your palace, I promise that you will come to no harm."
"Let them pass,"
Jabba shouted the instruction in Hutt-ese, then again in Basic.
"Let them leave this place, or I'll feed you all to the Sarlacc."
The Sarlacc must have been considered more frightening than Jabba. The weapons that were trained on them vanished. Qui-Gon grabbed Obi-Wan's arm with one hand and operated the controls for the sled with the other. The sooner they left this place, the better. No one bothered them in the dark hallways, and they weren't followed. When the metal door closed behind them with a muted bang, it still wasn't enough. Qui-Gon was almost dragging Obi-Wan in his wake, though Obi-Wan didn't protest. It was the work of moments to attach the hover sled to the back of the speeder bike. Obi-Wan climbed on behind him without a word, and Qui-Gon floored the accelerator. They were several kilometers away, in the shade of the cliffs, when Obi-Wan finally spoke.
Qui-Gon, stop.
Qui-Gon brought the bike to a slow halt. He turned and had to reach out and catch Obi-Wan when the younger man tried to dismount and fell instead. Obi-Wan shook him off, knelt in the sand, and began to retch. Qui-Gon held him through the spasms, concerned.
"What's wrong?"
Did you know that spice concentrates itself in Hutt saliva?"
Obi-Wan asked in a light, pondering tone, just before he started to vomit again.
"Force,"
Qui-Gon said, unable to think of anything else to say. He hadn't known that, no, but considering how much spice Jabba had ingested, it didn't surprise him very much. Biological reactions to spice varied. Vishnorels could carry active spice in their bloodstream for years. His partner wheezed out a strangled laugh.
"Vishnorels aren't nearly as ugly."
Qui-Gon shook his head. There had been no sign of loopiness, No glazed look to his partner's eyes as they had fled Jabba's palace. These symptoms were many steps beyond that.
You shouldn't be hitting withdrawal so soon.
When Obi-Wan could speak again, he nodded.
I'm forcing it out of my system, best I can. Unless you want to be the one to explain to Anakin and Padme how I managed to get loaded up on spice. Sorry, but Obi-Wan had to kiss a hut. Literally.
Qui-Gon couldn't help it. He burst out laughing. The play on the old figurative curse was so appropriate.
Obi-Wan, that's so... funny?
Obi-Wan suggested, just before his body convulsed.
Oh my, shakes and convulsions. We've done this before, boys and girls. Though, I suppose that there are just boys here.
Ah, there was the loopiness Qui-Gon would have expected. Obi-Wan rubbed his face with loose sand, ridding himself of hot slime and sick.
Hell's Qui, this isn't going to be pleasant.
He paused, a reflective light in his eyes.
Thank all of the little force gods. I can't taste the bastard anymore.
Qui-Gon agreed that such a thing had to be a blessing. He pulled Obi-Wan up from the ground. Obi-Wan was starting to shiver despite the heat of the evening. For some people, spice addiction was instantaneous, and withdrawal from long-term use was hell on the body. Withdrawal from such a small amount of spice should be minor, but Qui-Gon was almost certain the symptoms Obi-Wan was demonstrating were indicative of something worse. Purging the spice from his system with the Force shouldn't be creating this dramatic a reaction.
Can you hold out long enough for us to get back to Mos Espa? We can't stay out here all night,
Qui-Gon said, thinking that they were going to need a ready source of water. If Obi-Wan went through the worst that withdrawal had to offer, he could dehydrate. Obi-Wan nodded, his eyes flashing with forced good cheer.
I'll make it. If I don't, just tie me to the damn speeder. It'll be like having a really expensive hood ornament.
Qui-Gon chuckled again.
Stop that. Stop trying to make me laugh. So who's trying?
Obi-Wan asked. He stepped forward when Qui-Gon opened his arms, allowing himself to be held.
Just get me out of here, Qui.
Qui-Gon nodded, holding his partner. He could smell unpleasant hints of Jabba's palace in Obi-Wan's hair, but the sense of salt and sand and wind overpowered the worst of it.
I will. I promise.
They made it back to the settlement at dusk. By that point, Qui-Gon was afraid that he really was going to have to tie Obi-Wan to the speeder just to keep him upright. Obi-Wan was still holding on, but his grip was lax, and he leaned against Qui-Gon, losing awareness of their journey with every minute that passed. Qui-Gon trusted his instincts, and took them both to the slave quarter. It was doubtful that the hut's minions would think to look for them there. The old woman who offered them a bed and access to water was the same fruit stand vendor they had come across during Anakin and Shmi's retrieval 4 years ago. She remembered them, and had been a friend of the Skywalker family as well. Jira waved away their offer of payment, showing them to a cool, comfortable room with a soft sleeping pad on the floor. It was wide enough to cushion them both if they slept close. She brought them another blanket when Qui-Gon asked. It's from my own bed, Jira said, shaking her head when Qui-Gon would have refused it. If my eyes don't deceive me, you're going to need it. She gestured at Obi-Wan.
Seems like you picked up one bad batch of spice, lad.
Not intentionally, I promise you, Obi-Wan replied with a strained smile. Not ever. I value my liver too much, Lady Jira.
Don't call me a lady, for I've never been one, Jira replied with a wide, toothless smile. The shakes are the worst, unless you're allergic. And I'd say you are, the way you're sweating.
Obi-Wan nodded.
I am. It's not that bad. Not fatal, at least.
Qui-Gon stared at him, resisting the urge to groan in frustration.
When were you going to tell me about this? He asked.
Obi-Wan being allergic to spice itself was not so bad, not when he hated the drug in all forms and refused to indulge. But there were medication allergies to contend with because of their chemical similarities to spice. Obi-Wan looked at him in honest bewilderment.
I haven't?
Qui-Gon sighed. Judging by the slight list Obi-Wan was developing, this was not the time for such discussions.
Don't worry about it. We'll talk about it later.
Okay, Obi-Wan said. I hope you're all right with the fact that I'm going to keep you awake tonight.
In other circumstances, those would be the best words ever, Qui-Gon thought, amused. It's fine, Obi-Wan.
Jira gave them a knowing look. I'll leave you both to it, then. Don't stint on the water, as there's plenty in the cistern. If you get dehydrated, it'll be worse, she reminded them, and disappeared into her bedroom. Obi-Wan sat on the sleeping pad with a grimace, reaching down to unbuckle his boots. His hands were shaking so badly that he couldn't manage it at all. Qui-Gon knelt in front of him, gently knocked Obi-Wan's hands aside, and removed his boots for him. Then, despite Obi-Wan's faint protests, Qui-Gon took off Obi-Wan's belt and wrapped him in the blanket that Jira had given him. Obi-Wan looked as if he were about to voice his thanks, and then his features tightened in pain.
Water first, and then you lie down,
Qui-Gon suggested, attempting to sound cheerful. Obi-Wan nodded.
You're going to have to help me, he said. I think at this point I'd just bathe myself with it. I can do that.
Qui-Gon filled a cup with water from the cistern, taking a moment to slake his own thirst. A day in the desert was harsh on the body. He felt sunburnt and tired, and his day was far from over. He filled the cup again, bringing it to Obi-Wan. It took all four of their hands on the cup to hold it steady. During the second cupful, Obi-Wan's body seized up mid-swallow, and he nearly choked on what he'd been trying to drink.
I can't, he whispered,
shaking his head when the cup was reoffered.
All right.
Qui-Gon used the edge of the blanket to mop them both dry.
It can wait, he decided,
investigating Obi-Wan's body with the Force. His partner was still so used to desert life that he had not suffered much from the day's heat. Obi-Wan looked at him, his eyes glazed and bloodshot, but still aware.
I'm sorry about the girl, he said,
through the tremors that were starting to shake his entire body.
If I'd known what he was going to do...
Don't, Qui-Gon said, drawing the younger man into his arms.
Don't. Neither of us realized what he intended. It's no one's fault. Who are you trying to convince?
Obi-Wan said, his voice slurring.
Me or you?
Both of us,
Qui-Gon admitted, still feeling the shock of that sudden loss of life.
He didn't even know the poor girl's name. If there was family waiting to hear word of her fate, he would never be able to grant them that comfort.
"Come on, then. Lie down," Qui-Gon said, joining his partner on the sleeping pad.
It wasn't the softest surface he had ever laid on, but it would serve. Lying under two blankets, with a companion radiating heat, that was going to be the uncomfortable part. Qui-Gon curled up around Obi-Wan, who sighed into the embrace. Under his hands, Qui-Gon could feel constant fine tremors as muscles clenched and released of their own volition.
"Tell me what to expect, Obi-Wan. I need to know what to do."
"You ever walked someone through spice detox?"
Obi-Wan asked.
"Once or twice,"
Qui-Gon said. It had never been pleasant.
"Same thing,"
Obi-Wan told him, and then lurched in Qui-Gon's hold, a muscle spasm striking so harshly that he cried out. Qui-Gon held on, pinning Obi-Wan's arms to his sides and throwing a leg over Obi-Wan's thigh to hold him in place. Withdrawal patients could break their own bones if left to detox without restraints. The muscle spasms were so violent.
"Glad I asked,"
Qui-Gon murmured, as Obi-Wan gasped for air when the spasm passed.
"You think you're so funny,"
Obi-Wan grumbled. And then he screamed as his body tried to fold itself in half. Qui-Gon held on, thinking grimly that this was only going to get worse. There was a great deal of strength in Obi-Wan's slim body. It was taking all of Qui-Gon's weight and effort to keep him pinned.
"Is there anything else I can do?"
"Just hold me,"
Obi-Wan wheezed. He already sounded exhausted.
Just hold me.
Whatever he was trying to say was lost to another pain shriek.
"Fucking planet,"
Obi-Wan hissed when he got his breath back.
"Fucking stupid motivator. Damn Jabba. That villainous fat fuck."
Not that Qui-Gon disagreed with the sentiment, but he decided it would be best to get Obi-Wan onto a less virulent line of thought.
"Have you done this before?"
he asked.
"Yes,"
Obi-Wan said after a moment, the shakes resuming in earnest.
"Tell me."
Obi-Wan seemed to be collecting his scattered thoughts.
"First time, I think, Corellia,"
he said at last. Heat was still pouring from his skin, along with a copious amount of sweat that soaked them both, but he was shivering so much that his teeth chattered as he spoke.
"There was an arms deal."
Another spasm hit, though thankfully it was not as bad as the others.
"Me, Deppa, Anakin,"
Obi-Wan went on, focusing on his story.
"It was Korsek who called us in, with others from the Corellian Temple. Someone diverting weapons from Korsek evidence rooms. We thought that was all there was to it."
Obi-Wan tensed in his arms, all the warning Qui-Gon had before he was screaming again, long and hoarse. Every muscle in Obi-Wan's body seized and forced him to arch back. Qui-Gon, startled, lost his grip on Obi-Wan's arm, and there was a flash of sharp pain as Obi-Wan somehow managed to hit him on the temple.
Qui-Gon gritted his teeth, grabbed the offending limb, and held it in place.
Sorry, Qui... Master. Sorry.
Obi-Wan gasped out.
Shh. Shh. Don't worry about it.
Qui-Gon soothed him, taking stock of the injury. It would bruise, but it wouldn't hinder.
Just tell me what happened on Corellia.
Corellia? Obi-Wan repeated muzzily.
Which time? There were several times on Corellia. I think one of them involved heavy drinking. Lots of drinking. Oodles of drinking.
Qui-Gon hid a smile in Obi-Wan's hair.
The arms deal. You, Deppa, and Anakin. Oh, right. That one. We thought diverted arms were the entirety of the problem. We were wrong. They had partnered with, well, Jabba, I think.
Obi-Wan uttered a soft laugh.
I think that's supposed to be ironic. There was spice involved. We discovered it when I fell off a catwalk in a factory.
Fell? Qui-Gon repeated. Obi-Wan would not have fallen without help.
Middle of a firefight sort of deal,
Obi-Wan said in explanation. He was still shaking, badly, but shaking was easier to deal with than trying to wrestle his pain-oblivious partner into submission.
There were crates below me that broke open when I fell on them. Spice went everywhere. I mean, there was tons of the stuff.
Obi-Wan shuddered, but Qui-Gon sensed it was in reaction to the memory, not his current misery.
It got in my sinuses, in my eyes, down my throat. I was choking on it. And in the blink of an eye, I was...
Damn, Qui-Gon thought. Between his spice allergy and the sheer amount of what he would have ingested, it was a wonder that Obi-Wan had survived that moment. Obi-Wan shook his head.
I've never felt so bloody intense in my life. I would have given anything to come down off that high. Couldn't concentrate. Couldn't think.
He sighed.
Thank the Force Anakin was there, because Deppa had never seen anything like it. Had no idea what to do. Anakin had been a slave for years, so he'd seen it before. Forced me to swallow half a bottle of Corellian brandy.
The horror, Qui-Gon drawled, well aware of his partner's first alcoholic love. He could tell that Obi-Wan was smiling.
It worked. I came down enough to think. My first words were to complain about the waste of good brandy.
Doesn't sound like a waste to me, Qui-Gon said.
In retrospect, no,
Obi-Wan was saying. In the space of a blink, he was howling in agony, the worst of the muscle seizures tearing through his body in a never-ending wave. He bucked free of Qui-Gon's hold, his head coming up and driving itself into Qui-Gon's chin. Qui-Gon almost blacked out, but one of Obi-Wan's flailing arms smacked the bridge of his nose hard enough to make him see stars. He swore aloud, feeling his face protest both strikes and nausea stir in his stomach.
weight and strength were not enough. He clamped down on Obi-Wan with a force hold that would have made Yoda proud. The shakes from the latest spasm seemed to last for hours. By the time it was over, Obi-Wan was as limp as a rag in his arms.
Forgot,
Obi-Wan said, barely audible. Qui-Gon propped himself up on his elbow to check on his partner, and found tears running from Obi-Wan's closed eyes.
Forgot how much it hurts,
he whispered. Qui-Gon ran his hands through Obi-Wan's sweat-soaked hair, trying not to feel helpless.
How did Anakin deal with your withdrawal from the spice?
Qui-Gon asked, hoping to keep Obi-Wan talking. Obi-Wan passing out right now could be dangerous. Because of the way his muscles were seizing, there was a slim chance the withdrawal could stop his heart. It was a damn rare side effect, but Qui-Gon was taking no chances. Obi-Wan opened his eyes, blinking a few times, but not really focused on anything in particular.
He had Deppa get me out of the factory. There was a med center.
He paused long enough to take a few deep, halting breaths.
Anakin knew the basics, but the center had a setup. Full body restraints and a water immersion tank. Stimulants pumped in with an intravenous line to stay awake through the withdrawal. Worked like a charm. It was hell,
Obi-Wan said with a tired chuckle.
This is bad. That was worse. Almost nothing compares.
Qui-Gon couldn't even begin to imagine.
The amount of spice in your system must have made the withdrawal last for days,
he said, planting a kiss in Obi-Wan's sweat-soaked hair. He wasn't sure that Obi-Wan even noticed.
Yeah, 4, maybe 5 days. I don't really remember. I do remember waking up, and I wasn't in the tank anymore. Mace was there. He looked at me, and I looked at him. I wasn't sure what he was waiting for. Finally, he said, "Congratulations, Obi-Wan. You have managed to crack a spice ring that has been plaguing Coruscant Authority for 2 years. But you picked the worst fucking method to do it that they have ever witnessed."
Qui-Gon smiled, because it sounded exactly like the words Mace would have chosen. Then he laughed. Because of course it sounded exactly like Mace. These were Obi-Wan's memories of his other life, and they were talking about events that hadn't happened. Yet. That realization stopped him cold.
Obi-Wan?
Hmm?
Obi-Wan was starting to drift, no longer shivering. Qui-Gon swallowed.
What happened on Naboo?
If Qui-Gon had even an inkling as to what Obi-Wan's answer would have been, he would never have asked.
You died,
Obi-Wan said, his voice thick and full of grief. Qui-Gon felt his blood run cold.
Oh, gods.
Obi-Wan shivered again, as if still stuck in the full force of the spice withdrawal. More tears fell from his eyes.
You died, and I never forgave you for it.
Died. The word rang in Qui-Gon's mind, resonating with such a pale, final note. He closed his eyes, pulling Obi-Wan close.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Obi-Wan.
Sorry he'd asked. Sorry that his partner still felt such grief over Qui-Gon's loss. Obi-Wan sighed.
You shouldn't have asked me. Qui, gods, why did you have to ask?
I don't know, Qui-Gon whispered, horrified with himself.
I just wanted...
Obi-Wan? He yelped, startled, when Obi-Wan escaped from his loose hold and flipped them over in a move that was pure mistral. Qui-Gon found himself trapped under Obi-Wan's weight, with Obi-Wan's hands pinning Qui-Gon's arms against the floor.
What do you want from me?
Obi-Wan shouted at him, tears running unheeded down his face.
Please, for God's sake, just tell me. I'll do it.
Qui-Gon stared up at him. This was a loss of control he hadn't seen from Obi-Wan since he was a child. He was almost certain it wasn't just spice-related.
Obi-Wan, why are you angry with me? He said in a soft voice. Because you asked something of me that you had no right to ask.
Obi-Wan whispered, his lips trembling, his fury gone as quickly as it had arrived.
You asked me that, and nothing else.
Obi-Wan collapsed forward, his eyes rolling back in his head as he fell. Qui-Gon caught him, cradling the unconscious man against his chest. A quick check with the Force told him that all was well, or as well as it could be.
I'm sorry,
Qui-Gon said again, trying not to tremble as his own exhaustion, physical and emotional, made itself evident.
I don't know what I once did, but I promise I will make it up to you, my love.
He lowered Obi-Wan back down onto the sleeping pad, covering him with one of the blankets, and pressed a kiss against unresponsive lips. Sleep would have been fantastic, but Qui-Gon still felt the need to stay alert. Even if all of the withdrawal was over and done with, please, by the Force, there was still a potential for danger from a thwarted hut. At least one of us will be well rested, Qui-Gon thought, and then snorted his opinion of that likelihood. Obi-Wan was going to awaken feeling like seven Sith hells. Then again, Qui-Gon touched the bridge of his nose, wincing at the sharp flare of pain. He didn't feel all that great himself. He crossed his legs, rested his palms on his knees, and sank deeply into a watchful meditation. Somehow, Qui-Gon managed to fall asleep anyway. He awoke to a crick in his neck, and Obi-Wan sitting in front of him, peering at him with an amused look on his face.
How can you sleep like that? Obi-Wan asked. No idea, Qui-Gon replied, wincing as his neck cracked when he tried to stretch. How are you feeling?
Obi-Wan tilted his head, considering the question.
Like you used me as a hood ornament for that speeder, and then hit every single wall in Mos Espa.
Qui-Gon reached out with both hands. Obi-Wan lowered his head and submitted to the force probe without complaint. He still felt exhausted to Qui-Gon's senses, but there was no trace of spice remaining in his system, and no hint of those damn spasms. His eyes were bloodshot, but clear, and he waited patiently until Qui-Gon withdrew.
"Do I pass inspection, Master?" Obi-Wan asked with a cheeky smile.
Qui-Gon felt an echo of last night's chill at the title.
"No, but it's better than it could have been. We have time for a healing trance." "No."
Obi-Wan shook his head, and then clasped one hand to his temple.
"Ow, but no. We need to get back to the ship. I can trance out on that uncomfortable bunk in the berth we were assigned."
Qui-Gon wanted to argue, but Obi-Wan was right. Now that he was paying more attention, the Force was prodding him, suggesting that time was short.
"Very well. Water first, though."
"I am not making the trek back to the ship without being well fortified," he thought.
"No arguments there, Qui." "Oh. Oh dear."
Obi-Wan reached up and brushed Qui-Gon's left temple, then his nose, with cautious fingertips. Both areas of Qui-Gon's face protested the gentle touch.
"Did I do that?"
"Yes, but not on purpose."
"They're fine, Obi-Wan," Qui-Gon said,
shaking his head and disrupting his partner's attempted healing the moment his skin began to warm and tingle with applied force energy.
"Enough," Qui-Gon told him, smiling to take the sting out of the command. "You need to be able to walk back to the ship."
Obi-Wan's lips quirked in a pained smile.
"I can walk. Just don't ask me to dance. What happened last night?"
Qui-Gon smiled back.
"It wasn't as bad as Corellia."
Obi-Wan shut his eyes, rubbing his face.
"I told you about that. You must have thought it terribly funny."
Qui-Gon nodded, his smile widening.
"Great," Obi-Wan muttered. "I don't remember anything beyond trying to figure out why I couldn't take off my boots."
They met their hostess at the door, who looked Obi-Wan up and down before pronouncing him fit to leave her home.
"You were lucky, I think," Jira said, and thrust a container at them.
"Water for your journey. There are pallies floating in it, so you can eat them after you drink the water. Or before. It's all the same to me."
"Thank you," Obi-Wan said, bending over to give her a shaky kiss on the cheek. He was still unsteady on his feet.
"You have been very kind."
"Bosh,"
Jira protested with a curse, but she was smiling. "We all do what we can, lad."
"Jira,"
Qui-Gon began, holding out the pouch that held the rest of their non-Republic credits.
"We don't have time to return the speeder that we rented in town. The man's name was Reed. This will be enough to cover the expense of returning the bike."
Jira took the pouch, hefting its weight.
"I think it's quite a bit more than that," she retorted. "But since I know you want it to be helpful, I'll make sure the credits go where they'll be put to the best use. You lads take care of yourselves. There's a storm coming, and it's not going to be pretty."
Qui-Gon hesitated at the door, remembering that Jira had said much the same to him on his first visit to Tatooine. He did not think she was referring to a sandstorm, though. Not this time. Followed by those prophetic words, they stepped out into the morning sunshine together. Obi-Wan covered his eyes with his arm, moaning at the bright light.
"This will be fun," he said, giving Qui-Gon a sickly smile.
When Obi-Wan reached for Qui-Gon's hand, Qui-Gon took it, twining their fingers together. The motion felt so natural, so right, that Qui-Gon barely recognized its significance.
"I'll lead," Qui-Gon offered, "until you adjust to the light. I'll take the most direct route through town that I can, but it's later in the day than I thought. It's going to be busy. Are you ready?"
"More than ready, Qui."
Obi-Wan stepped forward when Qui-Gon did, shielding his eyes from the glare of the twin suns. It was a long walk, but not as unbearable as it could have been. Despite Obi-Wan's obvious reluctance to be exposed to so much sunlight, no one gave them a second glance. When they reached the outskirts, Obi-Wan dropped his arm. He blinked a few times, but trudged onward, even if he still looked pained.
"Jabba's throne room," Qui-Gon said, as they crossed from sand onto the rock of the long plateau where the ship was parked.
"Vile," Obi-Wan replied.
He was breathing hard, but refused to slow their steps.
"What do you want to know, Qui?"
"Well, in for a credit."
"Would you have killed him, Jabba?"
"He's one of the cruelest beings the galaxy has ever known. Slavery, drugs, smuggling, murder, blackmail. The list is almost endless," Obi-Wan said. "If it's dirty, he's got his fingers in it."
Qui-Gon glanced at him out of the corner of his eyes. Obi-Wan was squinting against the glare of the suns, but Qui-Gon was almost certain there was anger shining in his partner's eyes.
"That doesn't answer my question," he said.
"Truthfully, Qui-Gon?"
Obi-Wan shook his head.
"I don't know. It was certainly tempting. There was nothing else I could think of to do. And if Jabba had not been frightened by what I did..."
He frowned.
"I'm sorry. I really don't know. Though, I almost wish he had pushed me that far," Obi-Wan said, rubbing his mouth, as if even the memory tasted bad.
Qui-Gon nodded.
"Force knows I certainly wanted to," he admitted.
Obi-Wan halted and looked at him.
"But you did not act on it."
"No," Qui-Gon said. "And neither did you."
They stared at each other. Without another word spoken, they both marked the subject closed and moved on. That distinction, that willingness to see the line but not cross it, was what made them Jedi. It meant having the strength of will to rise above the harm it was sometimes so tempting to unleash. The ship was just coming into view, a silvery, mirage-like smudge on the horizon, when Qui-Gon drew up short in surprise. A dark presence lurked somewhere out in the wastes. The hover sled came to an obedient stop behind him, programmed as it was to follow their every move. Qui-Gon scanned the desert, one hand drifting towards his lightsaber. Obi-Wan was at his back,
taking in their surroundings with the Force.
Obi-Wan?
Qui-Gon, run, Obi-Wan said.
What? Why?
Qui-Gon whirled, trying to sense and discover what was hunting them.
Run!
Obi-Wan yelled, shoving Qui-Gon forward with his hands to emphasize the instruction. Obi-Wan took two steps and almost fell to his knees, his body weakened from a night of pain. Qui-Gon grasped his partner by the arm and got them both moving at a shambling jog, a speed that would never impress anyone. Obi-Wan sounded awful, his breath like the rasp of sandpaper, but his urgency was contagious. Qui-Gon didn't know what they were attempting to flee from, but that dark presence was getting closer. He hesitated, ready to scoop his partner up into his arms to hasten their escape.
Too late, Obi-Wan gasped, and that darkness appeared before them as if from nowhere.
The figure was cloaked head to toe in black, and faced them with no trace of fear. There was a glint of yellow from beneath his hood, despite the shadows that hid his face. Looking at that dark figure was like gazing at emptiness personified. The cloaked figure bore a lightsaber in his hands. The hilt was longer than standard, and the dark figure carried it like he knew how to use it. Qui-Gon had never seen a Sith before in his life, but he would go to his pyre swearing that he was seeing one now.
Obi-Wan,
Qui-Gon said, knowing that his partner would understand his intent. Obi-Wan ignited his lightsaber, holding it without a hint of the physical weakness that Qui-Gon knew he felt. Qui-Gon's emerald blade joined the sapphire one, and together they faced a creature that had been a part of a Kreshling's nightmares for thousands of years. The Sith attacked without saying a word, igniting a lightsaber the color of fresh blood and flying at them like an unleashed whirlwind. Then there was a second snap hiss. Qui-Gon looked in disbelief at the light staff the Sith bore. Qui-Gon blocked the first strike, while Obi-Wan's lightsaber was slammed by the second. At that distance, he could just barely make out red and black skin, and the distinct horns that marked an Iridonian Zabrak. The Sith leapt again and landed between them, separating them, spinning in place with the blade and forcing Qui-Gon to counter at a speed that was damn near terrifying.
Force, Qui-Gon thought in blank amazement. He's as fast as Obi-Wan.
It was only due to their intense sparring sessions that Qui-Gon lived through the first few seconds of the duel. His old Form 4 standards were not enough. Not for this. The Sith was going to obliterate them at this rate. They weren't prepared for this sort of battle, and Qui-Gon was aware of the fact that Obi-Wan was on the verge of collapse. When the Nubian transport roared over their heads, ramp extended, Qui-Gon acted. The Sith was distracted for a brief second by the ship. Qui-Gon sent him flying with a well-applied, brutal force shove. Anakin appeared on the ramp, a grim look on his small face. He knew without being told that the hyperdrive motivator was his first priority. Just as Qui-Gon became aware of his own peril, Obi-Wan screamed. There was a flash. Qui-Gon spun around. The Sith was on his knees, howling in pain and rage with his fists pressed against his body. His lightsaber was gone, and there was a horrible, choking smell in the air, reminiscent of burned meat. Qui-Gon moved to finish the battle, to end the threat before it could gain influence over them. Then Obi-Wan dropped to one knee, his face ashen. and Qui-Gon realized that now was not the time. He seized Obi-Wan by the waist, making the leap into the ship for them both. Anakin followed a moment later, the motivator cradled in his arms. Qui-Gon glanced back just before the ramp closed to see the Sith standing alone in the desert, staring up at their retreating ship. Qui-Gon collapsed to the deck in relief, gasping for breath and aware that Obi-Wan was doing much the same. Anakin dropped the motivator into crash webbing strung along the wall and hit the intercom next to the ramp. "Get us out of here!" he yelled, cutting the signal without waiting for an answer. Beneath Qui-Gon's hands, the deck plates thrummed with sudden acceleration. "What happened?" Anakin asked, falling to his knees beside them. "What the hell was that? What happened to you?" he burst out, seeing his master's pale skin and shaking hands. Qui-Gon suspected that he didn't look much better.
"Never mind that right now, Anakin," Qui-Gon said, pointing at the hyperdrive motivator. "That must be installed, and you're the only one who can do it. We've got to get out of here. If that thing has a ship, he's bound to follow us."
Anakin bit his lip, torn between wanting to help Obi-Wan and knowing that repairing the ship was the best way to do so.
"Okay," he said. "But you're going to tell me everything," the young Padawan declared as he retrieved the motivator from the webbing. "Anakin, wait," Obi-Wan called after him.
Anakin paused, glancing back at his master with a worried expression on his face.
"The ship? Was that your idea?" Obi-Wan asked.
"Yes, master," Anakin said with a nod, glancing back and forth at them.
"Did I do okay?"
Obi-Wan gave him a faint smile.
"You did more than all right. That was brilliant, Annie."
Anakin smiled, ducking his head at the praise.
"Thank you, master. I'll go make sure this gets done as quickly as possible."
"I'll help him," a quiet female voice said. Qui-Gon only then realized that Padme was present, lingering in the corridor junction with her own concern for them shining in her eyes. She gestured for Anakin to follow her to the viewing room, leaving Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan alone in the small cargo bay.
"Well," Obi-Wan said, his voice still a hoarse rasp, "that was a really bad way to start the day. Wouldn't you agree?" "Are you all right?" Qui-Gon asked, getting to his knees.
His partner was shaking with exhaustion as he slowly pulled himself into a sitting position. Obi-Wan rubbed his eyes, and then his mouth, wincing as his lips cracked and bled.
"Yes," he said, "a bald-faced lie if there ever was one. Are you?" "I think I've just been frightened out of my wits," Qui-Gon replied bluntly. "Obi-Wan, that was what I think it was, wasn't it? If what you're thinking is that it was a Sith, well, I'm terribly sorry. You're right."
In that moment, he seemed both terribly young and frightfully old, all at once.
"I wanted to be wrong," Obi-Wan whispered.
Qui-Gon stared at him as the true depth of Obi-Wan's words sank in.
"Oh, gods. You're talking about the return of the Sith."
It would mean the return of war, the likes of which the galaxy had not seen in 1,000 years. Obi-Wan shook his head, his eyes dark with memory.
No. I'm talking about the end of the Jedi.
The end.